this morning to Luke 9. I would appreciate it. We're in verse 57. A little phrase that Jesus used teaching, and he said, remember Lot's wife. Kind of stands there. It just kind of jumps out. And this is not in Luke 9, by the way. Hang in there with me. Hang in there. I'll get back to you. I'm not lost yet. Well, the vacation actually helped a little bit, so hopefully I'll keep my thoughts in. Remember Lot's wife. How bad you want to turn around? How bad you want to go back? Do you understand what this means to walk into this building, be labeled property of Jesus Christ, saved by the blood, testimony of Christ to the world? Do you understand? And it goes, remember Lot's wife. And I go, oh. Jesus was trying to look at his disciples and trying to look at people. And here's an example that I'm going to read to you now out of Luke 9. Luke 9, starting at verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Amen. Children, no sermon for you today. Oh, wait a minute. That's no good. You ready for a children's sermon? Good, come on down. I missed you guys. I missed you. Yeah. Oh, that's all right. Small group today. Did you notice I was gone? Yeah. They bet they still gave you candy, though, didn't they? Yeah, good. That always brings you up, if nothing else. I just forgot about the candy today somewhere. No. You don't. We're going to talk about an interesting thing in the sermon today. And there was this place that we visited, and it was halfway up a mountain. And it was a real castle. And halfway up the mountain was this real castle, and we were way down in the valley, the bottom part. And we wanted to go see this castle, because this was the castle that Walt Disney, if you ever get to go to Disneyland or Disney World, this is where he copied his castle from, and it was halfway up this really high mountain. And the people I said that I was with said, follow me. And so I started walking and walking. But it wasn't nice and level. It was walking up a mountain. And we had to go halfway up the mountain to get to the castle. And I began to go, oh my goodness, this is going to be a lot of work. And so we started to go up a little bit. Then we zigged back and forth, and it got a little steeper. It was really nice, because for an old guy like me, they had a nice road or path going up. And then it zigged and up. And up, and up, and up, and up. And then we were halfway up to the castle. And I said, you guys go ahead. I got to walk slower. So they finally looked at me and felt sorry for me. I said, all right, we'll go. And I go, and I caught my breath. But you know, I learned something. It's not always easy to follow when someone says, follow me. Because sometimes they're going to ask you to walk halfway up a, to get to a, yes. Now, I want you to understand, I made it all the way up that mountain, and we got about this there at the same time. They were resting and taking pictures. I just kept plodding along and did okay. But all the way up that mountain, I went, wow. Now, we're going to be talking about the words, follow me. And it's not easy. It's actually sometimes hard. Like in my little story, it got hard because the hill got steep. And because we were walking higher and higher and higher, and there's a little bit less oxygen up higher and higher and higher. But it was so, so worth the walk. Oh, it was beautiful. You'd love it. You could picture yourself being princesses or a king and just standing in that castle looking at all this beautiful land. But you had to walk all the way up the hill to get there. Well, I'm going to be talking about walking and following to the big people today in the sermon. And I want you to think about, would you be willing to walk halfway up the side of the mountain so you could see that castle or not? And that I'm going to have, here you go, it's up front here. There you go. And yet, I'm going to ask them, are they going to be willing to follow Jesus? Because right now, guys, guess what? The hill's getting steep. Getting steeper all the time. And we got to get into shape. I walked better every day. And I said, I got to keep doing this every day. But that's going to be the important part. You and I have to be getting into shape. So when God says, come follow me, we're ready to go right up the side of a, if that's what he tells us to do. You ready for that? Good. I got a treat for you today. And I don't know if you want it or not. This is the non-gluten kind here. And this is a gluten. Jump in. There you go. Just reach in. They're all the same. Just jump on. Grab one. There you go. Yeah, it's actually good for you. You don't want to grab one of those? I had a girl. I hope those taste good. I never ate one yet. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Man, if I look back, I got a list of... What's your list like? That's my list of blah. Then I got a list against these people and those people and my ex-principal, and I got a list against this guy and that. You got lists? God says, don't look back. No room for you. We ain't got time. We ain't got time. No man who puts his hand to the plow and turns and looks back over his shoulder is worthy of the next row to be plowed. You want to know why? Because the moment you turn around, that plow, which you're guiding, by the way, because behind some oxen, I don't know, Bob may know how to do that. You ever plow a field behind a horse, Bob? All right, all right. A man who lived across the camp, across the street from the camp I ran, he used to plow with four horses and a bottom row plow of, I think, three. And he'd take that thing and he'd grab his hands like this. He said, you got to stay focused. Because if you didn't stay focused, John, what happened to your rows? They went crooked, right? Look at that. I'm calling people's names, and they're going, oh, you're talking to me. That's a good way. It works in class, too. If you doze off, I'm calling you. And he said, you got to focus, because that doggone plow, it just rides, or you hit something, and suddenly your furrow is all messed up. Suddenly you've ruined the very thing you're trying to do. So you got to stay focused. You got to stay understanding. Because if you stay focused on where you're going, what will start doing is lining up where it belongs in the back, and things will start becoming what they're supposed to become. And here's Jesus, and go, oh, I want to follow you, Jesus, right? And we kind of go, wow, just come on in. Everybody, you come follow him. That's good. And Jesus kept turning the people away. Can you imagine being a guest or a visitor here today? And I look at you and I go, well, thank you for coming. It's going to cost you your whole life. I don't know what God's going to ask you to leave, but he's going to ask you to leave probably something. And you're probably going to have a lot of things changed in your life than when you thought you walked in this place. But welcome. And you go, oh, Pastor Bruce, you can't do that. People aren't going to hang out there. People aren't going to want to come back. My goodness, you keep telling us it's hard, it's work. We want to hear, oh, Jesus loves you. And that's all you've got to worry about, isn't that nice? Why don't you all rub each other's back for a while and pat each other on the back, and you're so cute, right? I mean, that's what we want. I had a bad week and a good week. I mean, there are things that went well and things that didn't go well. I could use a pat on the back. I could use a hug. If you want to, you can do that. But you understand. I'm going, those are all things we need. And here's Jesus, this Savior of the world, walking along the road ever with his disciples on either side of him and all the other people that are following. And this first man walks up to him and he says this, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus looks at him and he says this, do you understand what you've just said? I have no place to go. You know, foxes have a den, a hole, a place in the ground where they can go to at night. I don't have that. He said, do you understand what you're saying? We're walking halfway up that mountain. Wait, that's a high mountain. That's a 5 times, 10 times higher than Devil's Lake. That's a high mountain. We're going there. Can I follow somebody else? Right? Well, you understand that. Why? I don't feel adequate. I make the excuses. I'm an old guy. I make the excuses. I haven't walked that far. And this was after walking around. You go, are you kidding me? And I go, no. What Jesus asked you to do, he says, you understand? You're going to be walking up to that house. You're going to be walking up that mountain. Are you coming with me or not? Is there a train? How about a four-wheel drive? Right? That's us. And God whispers and says, no, there aren't any other churches standing their ground. It's you. And no one else in your immediate family is standing into their ground. It's you. And you got to understand, you're the only one at work standing your ground. And you're the only one around that's going to preach the truth, and I need you to preach the truth. And if that means you got to walk halfway up the side of the mountain, or better yet, all the way up the side of the mountain, then get off your butt and start walking. One thing I found is that the first day it was okay. The second day, everything hurt. All right? As you get older, right, you do this game called, hey, I can do this. And then the real test is how long it takes you to recover from doing it, right? And as you get older, when you're young, you didn't even notice it hardly the next day. But as you get older, it's 2 days, 3-day recovery, and, you know, still working at that, you know. But you got to understand, here's God. He's going, I'm calling you. I'm inviting you. I'm challenging you. I got a mountain that has to be conquered, and you're the man, the woman, the child, the teenager that's got to walk up the side of it with me. And there's only one way to do it. Put one foot in front of the other. God is not going to get angry because your pace is a little slower than somebody else who can run up ahead of you. I wasn't disappointed that I had to walk that mountain at my own pace, because once I discovered that pace, I didn't quit. I just walked a little slower, and I could catch my breath easier and made it up the side of the mountain. And like I said, it was worth every step of the way. But the challenge that you and I have to understand is that we have to stand up, we have to start the steps, and we got to go where Christ has called us to follow him. And that's the challenge he was presenting to these people. He was saying, do you understand the high cost of what it could be to come follow me? Or did you think I would just make you healthy all the time? Did you think if you prayed to me, you'd always have a job? Is that what you thought I was good for? Rub the genie. Oh, great Jesus genie. I need, right? Haven't you and I done that? Make my kids nice. Well, good luck on that one. He goes, look at the parents. What do you expect? You know? I don't know what God says to you, but he says, clean up your own act, fella, and we'll work on the rest. But you understand? We've got Jesus reduced into something where, Jesus, follow me, follow me, follow me, follow me, do it my way. And I go, well, Jesus, if I follow you, my kids will never get sick. Yeah, I read that somewhere. Hesitations chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. The foolish man thinks that God's only purpose is to make you happy. That's why God created you. So he'd have something to do. I go, no. God is not functioning like that. And Jesus isn't mad or angry or upset. He goes, I built this place. I got a place for you to go. I need you to climb that hill. And I want you to see. I want you to catch the vision. I want you to understand what's going on in this whole process. But you're going to have to walk up the side of the mountain. And in my case, you're going to have to walk alone. Why? Because that's the call I have on your life right now. That's where you happen to be in your life right now. That's the pace you're able to handle right now. That's the call I'm laying out there for you. God is not upset, like I said, because some young person can run up the mountain and run back down. And an old one has to walk up that mountain, because there I saw them all my age and older. They're walking canes or the staffs, you know. They're just gliding their way up that mountain. I'm going, if I did this every day, I bet I could glide up this mountain eventually too. But you know what I like? I like sitting, don't you? I like the food, don't you? I like somebody else doing it, don't you? I want it to just happen. I want it to just kind of, oh God, can't you just straighten out this country? Just kind of do it? God says, sure, I'm going to start with you. Well, wait, what does that mean? Well, you're going to get your life together. You're going to get off your butt. You're going to start walking up the mountain. Oh, God, wait a minute. You're asking me to follow you. I think there's a fresh something for me to eat somewhere. You don't understand how old I am. Did God ever care how old you were? I didn't read anywhere in the Bible. You know, now that you're retired, you don't have to walk up the mountains anymore. I read Moses, get off your butt, go to Egypt and save my people. And you heard the excuses and God got upset with Moses. Get off your butt, go save my people. What's the challenge? What do you want me to say? You want me to be mushy and gushy? You want me to tell you you're loved by God? You are loved by God. But you're going to have to get up to the castle. And it's going to take one step in front of the other. And you're going to have to do it. And I don't know if it's going to take embarrassment or shame or invitation or the right person coming alongside you, but something's got to happen because God can't leave us stay where we are. He has to move us in accordance with his will to build his kingdom. Excuses are all over the place. Well, where are we going to sleep? What are we going to eat? What do you mean I'm going to have to use a toilet without a toilet? Oh, I have to carry my own toilet paper? Yes. And I have to pay to use it?
Yes.
A buck?
Yes.
For one flush?
Yes.
I think I'm going to come back here. I think we're going to make it easy. And I go, here he is. You know, Lord, I got to go bury my dad. And we don't know for sure whether the way this is written, it could go either way. One is that my father is old. I got to wait till he dies. You know, that kind of a situation. I got to wait till my father dies, put everything in order. I got to do that. And the other one is that the father has died, and which seems to be more accurate, I think. But the other one is that the father has died and he's simply asking permission to go back and bury his father in an appropriate way. So Jesus said, look what he says. He says, let the dead people out there that are already dead spiritually, let them bury their own dead. You go proclaim the gospel. Now, what does it take to have that kind of burn in our hearts? What does it take to take you from where you're at into the burn of where you need to go and what you need to do. Having walked to the top of that hill and experienced that castle, I would do it again. Because it was that pretty. Because it was that worthwhile. Because it was good for me. Because walking up that hill was something that invigorated me even as it exhausted me. It is something that brought life back into my existence, even as it kind of sucked life out of my existence. It was something that challenged me because I'm looking at you going, do you understand if you follow Christ, he is going to breathe life into you. He is going to bring new things to see that you've never seen before. He is going to set upon you a spirit that you do not have now because you have actually resisted that walk up the side of the hill, and you've come up with your excuses, and God's simply saying to us at this point in time, no more excuses. The same thing he said to his disciples, the same thing he does when he calls anyone. And Jesus finally, on the last example, says this, I'll go follow you, just let me go say goodbye to my family. Let me put my house in order. Jesus said, you're looking back. He said, you put your hand on that plow, and you look back over your shoulder. You're not fit for the kingdom. But Jesus did this consistently. And the challenge for you and me is to hear it, not be afraid of it, but help us to understand that the numbers dwindle. You understand? They dwindle when you go, I really am going to have to walk halfway up that mountain. Yeah. Could have said no. I could have quit. And I understand that too. So here's Christ. He's looking at his disciples. And he turns to the first disciples and he says, hey, you fishermen, come follow me. What does it say? And they left their nets and followed him. Bam. Matthew. He left his tax collecting and followed Jesus. He left his career, he left his table, he left it all. That is what you begin to recognize. He said, you want to know what kind of people I want and what kind of people I'm calling? I don't have room to haul your butt up that mountain. I need you to start walking up that mountain. Not because I don't love you, not because I'm trying to be mean to you, not because I'm trying to make it so hard you won't follow me, but he said, even if your pace is like this, you're moving. And even if that's what it takes, or you're walking with a cane or two walking sticks, whatever it takes, you move the way God's called you to move. And the challenge, stop looking back over your shoulder. Stop looking back and woulda, shoulda, couldas. You're married to her. Make it work. What does God say about how to treat her? You're married to him. Don't look back over your shoulder anymore. How does God say to make it work? You've got those kids. No, they're not perfect. Never were. I don't know what bubble you lived in when you thought they were. All right, what are you going to do with them? Whatever Jesus calls me to do. What are you going to do with those relatives? I just wish I could train this uncle, son, sister, cousin, brother. Go forget it. That's not God's call. Put your hand on the plow, hit the ground, and start moving. Because even if it's this big, you're moving in the direction I've called you to move. You see, God has called us into victory. God has called us to walk in a path he's prepared for us, in good works that he's prepared for us to do. He is the power. He is the source. He is the call. And yet he still asks you to walk up the mountain. And so my challenge, my invitation, taste what God has for you. Don't just stare up the side of the mountain and say, I can't make it. Look down at your foot and say, can I make the next step? Can I make the next step? And pretty soon you'll put 100 or 500 or 5,000 or 10,000. I don't know how many it took to get up that crazy mountain. But 10,000 steps and you'll be where you're supposed to be. God's challenge for us today is not be people who look back. People who look forward. Not people who woulda, shoulda, coulda. But people are saying, what can I do today? How can I change my child's life? How can I make my husband or wife's life better? How can I do the things that God wants me to do with this person, that person, or whatever the individual? That's the call God lays upon your life. Pray with me if you would. Faithful men. Faithful people. Excuse me. That's who you're calling, Lord. Come, follow me. Don't look back. Keep your eye on me. I'm going up this mountain. And where I am, I will give you the strength to follow. Heavenly Father, move on our hearts. Teach us the power of those words of that song. Teach them what they really imply. And help them take root in our heart. Make us followers of Jesus in every way. Pray this in your name. Amen.